This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we are now on the, in our Aqidah class, we are on the first and most important part of Aqidah, which is our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iman Billah. To enter Islam, a person must believe in their heart that there is nobody worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger and the last and final messenger, after whom there are no other messengers. No other Nabi, no other Rasul after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is part of the Aqidat al-Tawheed of the Muslim, without which there is no Iman, there is no Islam. If somebody believes that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah and the Nabi of Allah, and however somebody else came after him and that person is also a Nabi or a Rasul, then this person has exited Islam. This person is not a Muslim. He can be whatever else he wants, most welcome, be happy with that, but that person is not a Muslim. That person has no right to call himself a Muslim. A Muslim is, this is just a matter of understanding what is the definition of a Muslim. A definition of a Muslim is somebody who is, who believes only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one worthy of worship. Nobody else. No other creature, no other being, no other thought, no other idea, no other concept. And he believes also, and she believes also, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, was and is the messenger of Allah, is the Rasul of Allah, is the Nabi of Allah, and he is the last and final of them, that there is no one after him. This is part of our belief. So it begins with that. We believe that in our hearts, and then we say it aloud with our tongues. Usually you would do that before witnesses, but it doesn't matter. Even if you don't have witnesses, Allah is the witness. And you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. You say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then we live our lives according to this kalima, meaning that we live our lives demonstrating that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one worthy of worship, meaning that we worship only and only Allah without joining partners with Him. And we obey him in every aspect of our lives, and we follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in all aspects of our lives. This is how a person becomes a Muslim. So if somebody asks you this question and says, is Islam the worship of one God? What is the answer? The answer is, Islam is not the worship of one God. The Islam is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person says that he believes only in one God, and that God is Jesus, or that God is Krishna, or that God is Rama, or something, right? Whatever. Then that person is not a Muslim. Even though he is worshipping only one God. He is not worshipping two or three or four. He is worshipping only one. So it's not a question of one. It's a question of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and he talked and he said that he is Al-Ahad. Allah did not say Wahid. Allah did not say one. Allah said Ahad. Ahad is not only one but unique. Nothing like anyone or anything else. So Islam is the worship of Allah, number one. Number two, there is no similarity between Islam and any other religion or any other way of being. Islam is not like Hinduism. Islam is not like Christianity. Islam is not like Judaism, Islam is not like communism, Islam is not like any other ism, any other way of being. Islam is unique in itself. Third one, is Islam stands out alone, pure and distinct, and it is the only religion that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna deena عند الله الإسلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the only deen, verily the only religion that is accepted or in the sight of Allah, which is a religion, is Islam. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. Verily, the deen or a religion or a way of being in the sight of Allah is only al-Islam. So all roads may lead to Rome, but all roads do not lead to Jannah. Only a person who believes in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, a person who believes that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger and Nabi and last and final of them, only a person with this belief will go to Jannah. If a person believes anything other than this, then this person will not go to Jannah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. It's not my opinion I'm giving you, so please understand that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. In Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, know therefore that there is no God, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ. Allah said, no. Allah did not say, say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah did not say, قَال. Allah said, فَعَلَمْ. Know this completely in the root of our being. And knowing means to acquire knowledge and understanding. فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is no, therefore, that there is no God except Allah. And that is the reason why it is important to acquire knowledge and understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what He is. So to enter Islam, we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The different, as we know, different kinds of kalimas. All of them mean basically the same thing. Some have a little more addition. For example, in this one we are saying, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. I bear witness that there is no one, no deity, no one worthy of worship except Allah. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ. He is alone and He has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. Please understand, to be called the slave of Allah is not a disrespectful term. It is the highest form of respect. It is the greatest honor to be called the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word for his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah Al-Isra, which is also called Surah Bani Israel. First ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjidil haram ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that glorified is He, and this is meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, glorified is He who took His slave, Abudihi, His slave. This is the greatest honor. So please don't have any hesitation about saying Abduhu wa Rasulu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to do that. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned Him like this. Who took His slave, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And He purified the surroundings of Masjid Al-Aqsa. And He is the all-seeing and the all-hearing. Sami'ul Basir, all-hearing and all-seeing. The Sahaba came to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said to him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, the people, the subjects of the Kisra of Persia and the Khaisar of Rome, these are the two big empires, two big powers of that day, of those days, and these were the kings. So they said that people, when they enter their chambers, when they greet the king, they prostrate, they fall down flat on their faces, they put their head on and face on the ground, and that is how they greet these kings. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, your status is far higher than any king because you are the Rasul of Allah. So please permit us also to greet you in this way by making sajda in front of you. Rasulullah ﷺ prohibited that. He said, sujood is only to Allah. He said, sajda is only to Allah. And he said, I am the Abd and the Rasul of Allah. So when you refer to me, he said, refer to me as Abduhu wa Rasulu, as the slave of Allah, as the Rasul and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in terms of His Zat, in terms of His Self. And he said, "Qul hu Allahu Ahad." He said, "Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he, Allah, is Al-Ahad." He didn't say, "Qul hu Allahu Wahid." He said, "Qul hu Allahu Ahad." Say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, meaning unique, nothing comparable to him. It's not a number. It's not one as in less than two. It is unique. Ahad. Wahid is one as in less than two. Wahid and Ithnain and so on. But in Al-Ahad is one who is unique. There is nothing comparable to him. Allahu Samad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all need. Everything needs Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, but Allah needs nothing in his entire creation. Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not begotten and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not beget anything. Meaning Allah was not born from somewhere else. Allah does not have parents and Allah does not have children. Wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad, and there is nothing comparable to him in all of creation. This is the fundamental belief of Islam and of Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, he is unique, and as I said, one not as in a number, one as in has no partners. There's nothing like him. He is unique and he is not like us in any respect whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is incomparable, meaning that we cannot conceptualize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you may conceptualize means it is not like Allah. Whatever. And that's why we are not permitted to conceptualize the dhat of Allah. To say what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like, what does Allah look like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used terms to describe himself which are common usage terms in the language. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. And then he said, يَدُوا فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in the hand of Allah there is only khair, there is only beauty, and there is only barakah, there is only blessing, and there is only goodness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat referring to the Baytul Ridwan in Sulh Hudaybiyah's time, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took allegiance from the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَدُوا فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. The hand of Allah is over their hands. Now, so if somebody says, does Allah have a hand? Answer is yes. What does it look like? We don't know. Does it look like my hand? No. Because Allah is said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is unlike anything. He is unlike anything. And he is the one who is all hearing and all seeing. Which means Allah is completely and totally aware of everything. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned hearing. Is the hearing of Allah like ours? No, it is not. Allah mentioned seeing. Is the seeing of Allah like ours? No, it is not. Allah mentioned His mercy. Is the mercy of Allah like ours? No, it is not. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some things with regard to Himself. For example, He mentioned His glorious countenance. He mentioned His face. Right? فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. He said, wherever you turn, you will see the face of Allah. Now, the point is that all of these are terms which are used in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may use them for the reason that He knows best, and in order for us to understand to get some idea about certain things which we get confused about. In our Aqidah, there are two very important things to remember. First and foremost, as I mentioned here, is to remember that even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these terms which are common usage terms, the hearing of Allah is not like our hearing, the seeing of Allah is not like our hearing, the seeing, the countenance, the glory and the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like ours, the hand of Allah is not like ours, and so on and so forth. Number one, it's completely different. How it is we have been prohibited from trying to conceptualize and guess and so on, for a very simple reason, which is that there is no way that we can encompass that, no way we can understand that. And this kind of guesswork only leads to harm, only leads to confusion. There is nobody to ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to talk to us if we ask Him. So stay out from asking or stay away from asking questions which have no answers. Second thing is very important, is also part of Aqidah, that we do not compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's things about that we learn about Allah to something else. For example, we don't say Yadullah, hand of Allah means Allah's power, right? Face of Allah means something else. The hearing of Allah means whatever. I mean, meaning that we are prohibited from ascribing faculties and ascribing concepts to what Allah mentioned. So, hand of Yadullah means whatever Allah means, it means. That's it. We don't say it means His power, it means His ability, it means His control, it means His authority. No. Yadullah is Yadullah. Khalas. So this is a very important thing to understand on this, that we believe in what Allah has told us bila kaif, without asking how. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Istawa ala al-arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created khalaqa samawati wal ardi fi sittatil ayyami thumma istawa ala al-arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and all of creation in 6 days, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended on His arsh. Istawa ala al-arsh. So we say, does Allah have an arsh? Yes, we know He has. What does it look like? We don't know. Allah made istiwa on the arsh. Yes. What is the meaning of istiwa? Allah is on the arsh. Do we believe that Allah is on His arsh? Yes, we believe He is on His arsh. On His throne. What is the meaning of, is it sitting on the throne? Is it standing on the throne? No, we do not go there, because there is no way of answering those questions. And we have been told not to ask questions for which there are no answers, and we cannot get any answers. So this is a part of our akhidah, to understand this and not to try to delve into matters that we cannot control and we have no clue about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran in several ways. One, as I mentioned, in several places. One, as I mentioned, Suratul Ikhlas, which we just saw. Another place, one of the most beautiful ayat of the Quran, Ayat al-Kursi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Which means, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah, la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. He does not sleep, He doesn't nod off, He doesn't even blink. So sleep does not overtake Him. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is he that can intercede with Allah, with him, except with his permission? So, no intercession without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the power of intercession to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, no, who is he that can intercede with Allah, with him, except with his permission? He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows what happens to them, his creatures in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter. But they will never compass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. Allah knows everything about us because He is our Creator. But what we know about Allah is only what Allah chose to show us and tell us. We don't know anything more than that. And that applies to everyone, including Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is part of our Aqidah. And they will never encompass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. His kursi, which is the footstool, extends over the heavens and the earth. Vasya kursi usamati varat. The kursi is over. And the kursi is the footstool. The arsh is much bigger than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels no fatigue and no tiredness in guarding and preserving these, meaning the heavens and the earth, all His creation. And He is the most high, the most great. Now, to understand here is several things. One is, of course, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique, His power is unique, He has complete and total control, He is the one who will even give shafa'at and who will give intercession to, inshallah, we pray for this, we ask Allah to give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we believe that this Allah will do, inshallah. But it is His giving, If Allah does not give, nobody can take it. Number one. The second thing is that we believe that this whole thing, that Allah created the entire creation, but nobody created Allah. Because this is that circular argument which comes, people say, you know, like the chicken and egg argument. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken comes out of the egg, but the egg, for the egg to be there has to be a chicken. So this is a circular argument. We don't have this in Islam. We say we believe what Allah told us, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-hayyul qayyum. He is alive and he is established. Again, al-hayy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is alive. His life is nothing like ours. He is the one who gives life to everything else. We take our life from Allah, and our life will be taken back by Allah. Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah is Qaim, He is established in the way which suits His majesty and grace, meaning that Allah is not contained by anything in creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not affected by anything in His creation. He always was and He always will be. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, He is Qaim, He always was and He always will be. For Allah there is no past, there is no future. So this is a very important thing for us to understand as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, that He did not come from anything and He did not produce anything. Again, also, as far as these children and so on, the usual arguments of in different religions where they ascribe these things, divine qualities or divine things to human beings, Islam, we reject all of that. We do not believe that there is any human being or any jinn or any angel or anything which is like Allah or which is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or has any control or has any interference or has any partnership in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah said, He is Allah, other than whom there is la ilaha illa huwa, none has the right to be worshipped except Him. He is the all-knower of the unseen and the seen, all-knower of the unperceivable and the perceivable. Al-ghayb and hadir. Al-ghayb is not just unseen, because just because something is not seen doesn't mean it doesn't exist or it's not in this alam. For example, electricity is not seen, sound is not seen, love is not seen, hatred is not seen, feelings are not seen. We see the effect of those things. So the air is not seen. We don't see the air, but we know it's there. We breathe it and we feel it. We feel its effect on our face. So the issue of, it's not when we say alimul ghaybi wa shahada, he knows what is perceivable and what is unperceivable. We say al ghayb is unperceivable, meaning that it is something which cannot be perceived in any form and using any tool. Right? Microbes, coronavirus is unseen until you put it under an electron microscope, then you can see it. But in the case of whatever is ghayb, for example, mouth is ghayb, death is ghayb, the state of the qabr inside the grave is ghayb, the day of judgment is ghayb, Jannah is ghayb, Jahannam is ghayb. All of these are things which are unperceivable. We believe them because this has been revealed and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about them. So He is Allah, other than whom there is la ilaha illa huwa, there is none worthy of worship except Him. He is the all-knower of the unperceivable and the perceived. He is the most beneficent and the most merciful, huwa ar-Rahmanur Rahim. He is Allah, other than whom la ilaha illa huwa, there is no one worthy of worship except Him. He is the King, He is the Holy, He is the one free from all defects. He is the giver of security, He is the watcher over His creatures, the Almighty, the Compeller, the Supreme. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high is He above all that they associate as partners with Him. He is Allah, the creator, the inventor of all things, the bestower of forms, and to him belong the best names. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. All that is in the heavens and the earth glorify him, and may Allah make us among them who glorify Allah, and he is the Almighty and the All-Wise. Again, another place in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And your ilah, your God, your deity, the one you worship, is one ilah, Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And there is no one worthy of worship except him, and he is the most beneficent and most merciful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, which I recited before as well in Surah Ash-Shura. There is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearer and the all-seer. It's very important to keep this in mind, that there is nothing that resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what people do, where they ascribe qualities which are really divine qualities to non-divine things, which is shirk in Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ikhlas, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, and there is none equal or comparable to him, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. He is the first, he is awwal, and there is nothing before him. لَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٍ وَالْآخِرُ, and he is the last, and there is nothing after him. لَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ, and he is Zahir, and he is Batin, he is the first, and nothing is before him, he is the last, and nothing is after him. He is the most high, and nothing is above him, and he is the most near, and nothing is nearer than him. And he is the Bahuwa Bikulli Shayim Alim, and he knows every single thing that happens. He is the all-knower of everything. In terms of his Zat and his Sifat and his Af'al, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in all ways. In terms of himself, in terms of his qualities. Again, as I mentioned, the qualities, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them are common usage terms, so we also use them for ourselves and for people and so on and so forth. But in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that thing is perfect in every way. For example, just to give you a simple thing, Allah sees, I also see. But what is the difference? I see what I see when there is light. In darkness I cannot see. I see what is in front of me. What is behind me I cannot see. Right? And all the limitations of my seeing. Whereas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is no limitation. So the Allah seeing or Allah's sight has no limitations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there is a black ant on a black rock, in a pitch dark night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that. Just to explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see something which is inside a rock. Allah sees what is under the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this earth is less than a grain of sand on a beach. So what's so great about the earth? I mean, think about this. In the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why qualities also. For example, the Christians believe that Sunday is a day of rest because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. He got tired and he rested. Now this is, na'udhu billah, this is shirk, because we are ascribing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our weaknesses, our problems. We get tired, so Allah gets tired. Na'udhu billah. Allah does not get tired. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creation is not an effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says be and it is. If something Allah is in the ilm of Allah, if something Allah knows, Allah can make it happen without making any effort. So in terms of his dhat, his sifat, his qualities and his afal, his actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely unique, even though, as I said, some terms we use in our normal usage. His knowledge is perfect and encompasses everything and is not dependent on anyone or anything. Allah does not need someone to inform him. Allah does not need the malaika to come and talk to him and tell him this is happening, that's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. For Allah there is no present and there is no future and there is no past. Everything is the same for him. So Allah knows what a person is going to say even before that person is aware of the fact that he is going to say that. So obviously when the person speaks that, Allah hears it. In many cases in the ahadith you would find where Rasulullah said that the angels went to Allah and this is what they said to Allah. Now this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they also Allah asked them, what did my slaves say? How did you find my slaves? Now these are things in order to grant the slaves this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say that they are to make the angels as witnesses for the slaves, witnesses in favor of the slaves. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks. For example, one of the most beautiful hadiths, and I will end today's session with that, where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are groups of angels which tour the earth searching for gatherings of the dhikr of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include this gathering that we are here to talk about the greatness and glory of Allah and to understand our aqidah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this one of those gatherings. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are these angels which tour the earth looking for gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being mentioned and Allah is being remembered. And then when they find these gatherings, they stop there and they enter that gathering, they surround this gathering, and they completely from the sides and from the top, and they pile up one on top of the other until they reach the first heaven. So that many angels. And then when this gathering is finished, they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, oh Allah, we came from your gathering where you were being mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, what were they doing? They will say, no, Allah knows. Allah knows what we were doing. Allah is listening to us as we are doing it. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the angels is because He wants to make those angels witnesses in our favor on the Day of Judgment, where they will say, we are the witness, this is what they were doing. So Allah will ask them, what were they doing? Ya Allah, they were making your dhikr. What did they want? Ya Allah, they wanted your forgiveness and your Jannah. Have they seen my Jannah? They have not seen your Jannah. If they see my Jannah, what will happen? Ya Rab, they will want it even more. What else did they want? They wanted protection from the fire, from your anger, from your punishment. Have they seen my punishment? Have they seen the fire? Ya Rab, they have not seen your fire. If they see my fire, if they see Jahannam, what will happen? They will seek your protection even more. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then you be the witness that when they meet me on the Day of Judgment, I will give them what they wanted and I will protect them from what they seek, what they sought protection from. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the angels will say, Ya Rab, but there was one man who was not really part of the gathering. He was passing by. He just stopped there for a while to see what was going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I forgive him also. So Allah says, first of all, Allah says that you are the witnesses. I forgive all of them. I will give them what they ask for and I will protect them from what they sought protection from. And also this person who was passing by just stopped. The barakah of the gathering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dhikr is such that even that person is forgiven, even though he was not really a member or a part of that majlis of dhikr, just because he was passing by, he stopped. This is a excuse for his own forgiveness. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to reflect on these things. I want you to think about these and reflect. That's why we keep it in short. Reflect on this and correct our aqidah. If there is anything other than this that we are believing, we need to correct that so that we believe in the absolute pure aqidah of Islam, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.